A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Galatians chapter 3. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified by God before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. Jesus said, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, whoever does not believe is condemned already. And this is because the holy law of God is unyielding in its demands, in its accusation and condemnation of our sins. The law of God demands that we be like him in thought, in word, and deed. This is how we were made to be, dear ones, and not just externally, in appearances only, but also internally. We are to be like God as he is. And when the demands of God's holy law are not met, there is a penalty incurred and a debt owed to God. The law demands satisfaction for even the slightest deviation. It demands it. If, God forbid, somehow you were in a terrible accident and required extensive medical treatment and had no insurance and managed to rack up a medical bill of over $10 million. Somebody has to pay. Somebody will pay that bill. It's not just going to go away. It's not just going to disappear into thin air. You cannot just sweep it under the rug. Somebody will pay. And so too with our sins. Sin ruptures our standing and relationship to God in the most profound way. And someone must make restitution for us, or we are lost forever. Someone must pay and satisfy not just the demands of the law in our place, but also they must suffer the wrath of God and condemnation that we have merited. They must take that upon themselves. And our conscience tells us this too. It is the sacred tribunal in our heart that will accuse us of wrongdoing, of sin. And it permits us no rest. And all of you who have ever suffered the terrors of conscience, you know what I'm talking about. And you know exactly how hellish that is. And that it is, in fact, a foretaste of hell itself. And Christ's suffering, dear ones, is the clearest proof to you and to me and to the world of how deadly serious our sins are and the debt we owe to God. Deadly serious. Look to the cross and see how Jesus suffers. See how he bleeds. See how he dies. See the agony and torment he was in. This is legally what we deserve because of our sins, because of our transgressions of God's holy law. But Christ's suffering, by the same token, is also the clearest proof that God does not wish you to be saddled with that debt that you owe him. he would not see you languishing forever under this debt that you cannot pay, lest you be lost forever. Jesus says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Present tense, right now, truly, really, you are not condemned in him if you have faith in Jesus Christ, dear ones. Believe on his holy name. See how he suffers for you. See how he bleeds for you. See how he dies for you. The record of debt that has stood against you with its legal demands canceled, the fiery wrath of God against us appeased, the demands of the law against you satisfied in full, and peace with God Christ has obtained for you and for me by the most holy merit of his suffering and death and resurrection. Even the sins that you've never told anyone out loud before, even the sins that plague your conscience and permit you no rest, and even the sins of the whole world, Christ has borne them as if they were his very own. He has given himself as a sacrifice once and for all time, and by his shed blood, you are redeemed. Now, here and now, you are redeemed, children of God by faith. There is nothing more sacred and holy to us than the shed blood of Jesus by which he ransomed us and purchased us. And let me tell you that if securing your redemption had required him to suffer more, he certainly would have done it. But he said, it is finished, it is accomplished, that you would know that he paid the price, all that was necessary to save you. So then how, dear ones, I ask you, how can we, who have been forgiven so much, continue to demand payment from those who have sinned against us? How can we demand that they pay what they owe when God himself has not required you to pay the debt that you've owed him, since Christ has paid it for you? Dear ones, relinquish the debt that your brother owes you, your sister. Forgive them. Because in truth, Christ has already paid for their sins. He's forgiven already. We are to be people of forgiveness. That is who we are called to be. So blessed are you with faith in Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God and Savior of us all. For your transgression is forgiven. Blessed are you, for your sin is covered, and the Lord reckons no iniquity against you because of him. And to the same Jesus Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.